Oh, you've been texting me all morning, William. You got things to say.
I do. So the first thing.
Oh, we're going. We're jumping right in.
Just go.
Ready, so the begin.
1, 2, 3. Oh, good morning, Randy.
Good morning, William. Good morning, friends and listeners.
So we had an update on the, so Tesla updates its car just kind of like an iPhone, right?
And yeah, over there.
Yeah, over there. And so, you know, you schedule it, da, da, da. So I scheduled it, woke up in the morning, and the car was doing some different stuff. I'm like, well, that's a little weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, and I thought, oh, they did some enhancements to the autopilot. It's kind of cool, right? So when I use my blinker and I turn, and I do turn, you know, I use myself, I turn it myself because that's the autopilot I have. It stays in autopilot mode. I don't have to put it back in. So I'm like, oh, that's kind of nice. And then all of a sudden I saw that there was like, if I put the blinker on, it was making the lane changes for me. And I'm like, well, that's cool. And then I'm like, so I start going through and I'm like, did they upgrade everybody? And this is now part of the package. They did upgrade everybody for 1 month to full service.
Oh, I thought you had to choose it.
You do. But for whatever reason, some of the features came through automatically.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I went in, I read it. I'm like, okay, cool. So I'll put on full drive mode. Okay. So I've been on full drive mode for several days.
Ladies
now.
And gentlemen, this is a first party account of full self-driving on the Tesla.
Okay. So
William, who once told me, you don't really need the full self-driving autopilot's fine. So now we're going to hear what William has to say about full self-driving.
Well, I mean, I still stand by what I said, even after having it.
Okay.
But it's pretty cool. I mean, it does some pretty cool stuff.
All right, let's hear it. Tell
us all
about it.
So I can basically turn on, you know, you put in your destination from my house.
Yeah.
Drive off. And once it's good, it's its bearings within a block or two, I can put it on and then it'll drive me all the way to work without me touching anything. It'll change lanes. It'll get off the freeway. It does all of the, like, you know, the lights and all that other stuff.
Okay.
So that's cool. It's also very obedient, especially when it's driving on the streets. So like when you turn right, it goes into the proper lane.
Yeah.
It doesn't do, you know, we all kind of like
drift or whatever.
Drift, right. We may not go into lane one, we'll go into lane two or something. No, it's very careful. And then it's also gives, like, if you go into a cul-de-sac, like,
do you feel safe?
Yes. ...
All right.
Okay, so
I feel like I'm burying your setup. Set it up the way you want to set it up. Sorry if I scared you into something.
So, like, if you go into a roundabout, it doesn't like roundabouts.
Roundabout? Who likes? Nobody likes roundabouts.
No, it's very cautious. It's very cautious in a roundabout. The other one is if you go to cut, like, if you're going to a street where it has an elbow, you know, so it's kind of like a cul-de-sac, but it's an elbow cul-de-sac. If you know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So you go. It doesn't cut the corners at all, right? On the surface streets, it goes all the way around. It's kind of funny because all those things that we do naturally, it won't do because it's against the rules, right?
All right.
So on the surface streets, I actually feel really safe about driving with it. It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to watch what it does. All the display changes.
Do you have to touch the steering wheel and stuff
no,
like
not
that?
At all. Well, I mean, yes, in the it's like, are you still there? You have to tap it still, right?
Okay.
So that's fun. I actually like that a lot. What I don't like is it does think a lot, but you know how you get pretty good in LA when you're in traffic to merge when there's really not a gap.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like you wedge your way in.
You got to wedge your way in. In LA, you just have to wedge. It's not like people are going to let you in. And it's not that they're being rude. We're not rude drivers in LA. We're just LA drivers, right? New York City drivers, they're just flat out rude.
Okay.
So the car doesn't do that well. Not only does it not
do it. That's kind of important in LA.
Right. Not only does it not do it well, it actually, it does it in a nerve-wracking, it's nerve-wracking, right? So what I found, my end result was I really liked it, but I found that it actually increased my anxiety about driving. So if the top anxiety is driving yourself in LA traffic.
Yeah.
And then I had this big relief and this I had this stress that I didn't realize I carried every day when I just used their free autopilot, which basically is enhanced cruise control that steers by itself.
Right.
That one really lowered my stress. But the full service, no, I had to watch it. I had to watch what's going on. because it makes it made two or three decisions that I had to stop it. Like, no, you can't do that. It's like a child trying. That's what it's like. Driving with your teenager and you're teaching your teenager. That's what it's like.
Okay.
Someone else is
driving.
But how
close is it to us not like that? I mean, if on a percentage, how close is it to being just fine?
I think before I would have said it's 80. Now I'd probably say it's 87. It's between 85 and 90.
Wow.
Yeah. It's almost there. And it's getting better every day. In fact, since I've had it, I had two more updates. One more update. I'm trying to figure out why Tesla's giving it free to everybody. And I
can tell you why.
Why?
So I saw a clip the other day of Elon on some interview show. And he said that he thinks that this year or next year that Tesla's going to have a ChatGPT-like moment for self-driving.
I agree.
Now, what do you consider? What's ChatGPT? Well, ChatGPT was like, look, they had this generative AI ability for years, but they didn't have it in a form factor where anybody felt like they could use it well. And so then they're like, what if you just put it into a chat where it's like you could chat a question to this machine, and the machine could chat back in a response. And then suddenly regular people not running like complex queries and crap could just be like, tell me a story about the moon. And they're like, well, a long time ago. And then they just kicked out a story about the moon. And everyone's like, wow. And so it became like a juggernaut. So what? So Elon is suggesting that they're going to, look, if they're at 87% and now machine learning is doing its thing, and every 6 months it gets way better. Because everyone tells me that, because you're on version 12 now or something.
Yeah.
Everyone tells me that version 12 dot whatever is way better than the last version. Then that means that like 87% goes to 100% pretty fast with machine learning.
So it's data collection.
Yeah.
So they basically gave it free to everybody to collect data collection. More data.
I also think there might be some, yes.
That's what I think too.
But there's some hand waving also going on too, which is they had a terrible quarter and their stock price is depressed. And they might be trying to,
because I actually think full self driving is $12,000 or $200 a month.
Yeah,
and I'm not interested. Like I thought it was cool, but it's $12,000 cool? No.
$12,000 no. Financing a car that's $76,000 and having it be $78,000 and the difference not being that much. Like it's kind of like a house. It's like, would I install a pool for $100,000?
Yeah, that's
not
creepy.
But would I buy a house that costs $100,000 more that has a pool? Probably. So yeah, like I've already gone on the internet and looked for used Teslas that come with full self driving.
So my brother-in-law just bought one.
A used one?
A used one that came with full self driving.
The problem is it's really kind of a narrow criteria because they have to have version 3 of hardware, I think, right? So it has to be newer than 2018.
He found several. Are you finding online?
I don't know where you go to look.
Tesla.
Go
straight to Tesla.
Oh, is that the move?
Yeah, for two reasons. Why? One, we went and picked up his car. It was immaculate.
Sure.
Immaculate.
Yeah.
And he got one with, I think, 11,000 or 12,000 miles on it. And have full self-driving version, and it's a Model 3. No, I think it's the extended version. And it's significantly less than less than a new one. They're still, I don't know.
Well, websites are not good at selling Teslas. They don't have they don't have the bullcrap detector.
Okay, so let me ask you this: would you buy self-driving mode for what reason? It's going to be at that point, or
yes,
because you want to reduce your stress? Because you have to go down to your
office.
It's going
to be
at
that point, and I think that it will reduce my stress. When it's at that point.
Yeah. Okay, I can see that. I just don't, I'm not.
It's not there now.
No.
No, driving with a teenager is super sketch.
Yeah, I mean, there's something that it's relaxing in that you're not paying attention all the time, but you're always watching to make sure that they're paying attention. That's kind of what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's not relaxing. That's
no,
stressful.
No, it's not. I mean, it almost ran me into a semi. It tried to cut. It tried to merge into a semi. I could see that it didn't give itself enough time to merge. right? And so it was where the 405 goes onto the 101. And I could see, I'm like, oh, this will be interesting. How is it? It is hard to navigate for a normal person. Like, which lane do you really want to be in? You know, if you're in the far right lane, you're in all this merge traffic. So it kept itself in the second lane. It's not really the second lane as LA numbers them, but all of a sudden there was a gap.
I think you're right. I think it's data collection. I think they're trying to.
I think it's data collection.
If they get all the cars suddenly giving data, and then that 87% goes to 97%.
Yeah. Okay, and there's one other part that I don't like.
But they already have data. That can't be right. They already have data collection.
Yeah, only from those who bought it.
No, because all the cars have cameras that report to the servers.
Yeah, but it's so every time I took it out, every time I had to rescue it, it asked for why did you take it out?
Oh, it asks?
Yeah.
Oh.
And it says I never did it because I was, at the moment, I was doing this in emergency. But if you push the talk thing on the wheel, on the steering wheel, it's just asking you, why did you do this? And if you give it, it goes straight to Tesla.
Oh, wild.
Yeah. So I think it's data collection.
Oh, that's great news. That means it's going to go faster. That's
By the fun. Way, yes, they're collecting data when the cars are just driving, but they're not collecting data when the car is driving itself. Does that make sense? So my autopilot collects data for all levels of autopilot.
Sure.
Yes. But you still have to drive in full service auto in order to get...
No, what you just told me is all the information I need. That it knows that you intervened and that it's checking on why you intervened. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
That's... Oh, my gosh. It's so smart.
No, but you know, like, from all the stuff in the game, right? You were telling me one time that you got... One of the innovations that your company does is that you have a faster way and a better widget, so to speak, to find the errors.
We do.
And fix them. And so because of that, you have a technology that is also as valuable as your game. So my in Tesla, that's what they're trying every All time. Right. So anyway, the end of it is I wouldn't pay for it, but having it right now. In fact,
Let's talk about the future.
I turned it off yesterday.
Under what circumstance would you pay for it?
I wouldn't.
Ever.
I mean, at the right price, I would, just not $12,000.
Under what circumstance? Like, see, I
$12,000 is too much.
So I have a circumstance. I have an hour and a half to and from commute, and I have an employer that's threatening to start bringing us back to work. And that's 3 hours a day. I cannot.
Oh,
I cannot imagine.
Okay, let me tell you
white knuckling 3 hours a day and not just being exhausted.
This is why I say it's. There's one more thing I didn't tell you. When you have full service going, you have to have the cabin camera on.
Okay.
And the cabin camera keeps you from doing anything. Like, you can look at your phone for a second, but if you look at it for too long, then it gets mad at you.
Oh, so they took all the fun out of full self-driving?
Kind of, yeah. Well, they did. But, you know,
but it's NTSB, not that I want to be entertained. It's that I want to not be super tired.
Okay, I'm telling
driving.
You that the free self-driving does that.
Yeah.
The self-driving doesn't.
Okay, cool.
And if you can do the stress from your office in Santa Monica to the freeway,
which is not hard.
Okay, you're going to be fine. Once you get on the freeway, you put it in.
I'm close to the freeway at work, and I'm close to the freeway at home, so there's not a lot of surface.
You just put it in, and then all you're doing is at the interchanges. So you're close to the 10 down there, right?
Yeah.
So you're getting on the 10, then going up the 405?
Yeah.
Okay, so you really have one.
That's it. I just have an
RAM. You're right. And so the next time you're going to have to do anything is when you merge to the 5.
Yeah.
So,
which is automatic too. It's not like I have to take it off.
Yeah, you drop yourself in the carpool lane, and there's one all the way from the 10 all the way up, and you just
sit
there.
One of the things that's interesting about what you're saying is I used to build my life around getting the carpool lane pass to save myself time, and I don't hear anyone talk about that anymore because it's not really relevant to save 10 minutes if you're not white knuckling it for 10 minutes. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And also because they kind of ruined those. Like, they ruined it because they make it not permanent, right? So, like,
if you buy a car,
you only get it for 2 years or whatever.
Yeah. Mathematically, it doesn't really help traffic. It's just a virtue signal. But yeah. I put it in there not because it saves me a lot of time. It may save me 5 to 10 minutes on my commute, but I put it in there because it's a lane that just goes straight.
No, I know. I'm not saying I don't want to have it. I'm just saying that I will know if I can, if I had to choose between a car that can safely drive in the freeway and getting carpool lane, I would choose the car that could safely drive in the freeway. You know what I mean?
You know what you should do is just get a version, right, that can get full self-driving, and then when it's worth it, you get your employer to pay for the subscription, because you can subscribe to it.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if the subscription were $99 a year,
a month, you'd be sorely tempted, right?
I'd get more tempted. I mean, that's still
all right,
but it's $200 a month.
So you saw Dune 2 and you liked it?
I did. I loved it. I mean, you're right. This guy's tells, and I'm glad you told me that he likes to tell stories with pictures, because then I was like more aware of it. And
yeah,
I'm
just like I'm going to watch this and not like listen.
Smokes. Right? I mean, the
pictures are so cool.
Wow. What a very, I went away thinking that is one super talented group of people.
Right.
And it's everybody.
What about that black and white scene?
Dude, it's not only black and white. Do you know what else it is? Infrared.
They shot it in infrared.
So I didn't know this, but evidently the sun on that moon, or the sun on that planet, I was watching some stuff afterwards. Yep. According to the book, the sun on that planet only gives infrared light.
All right.
So that's why they did it there. And then I found out because they shot it in infrared, they couldn't use black, because it actually on the film, it showed up as white. In infrared. So they had to find the special material so that it looked black. I mean, it was...
It looked cool,
the
man.
The fireworks were in infrared. That's the only color spectrum that you have on that planet.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
I thought the whole thing from beginning to end was...
I thought that bad guy was super scary.
Yeah.
Like, he was good at being scary. Like, all the bad guys were super scary.
That's the guy that played Elvis. Did you know that?
Yeah. Awesome Butler. He's the one in Masters of the Air, which is that show I keep telling you to watch. The World War II.
Oh, yeah. He was. The really good guy. Yeah. I have been watching that, and I like it a lot. I really like his character. He's one of those actors that I like that actor so much, I want to find stuff that he's in.
Yeah, he's getting there. He's for sure getting there.
The only thing that I don't like is... I'm not so sure that the story itself is one that there's something that itches me about it. Like, I don't like, I think I look at, so
well, I can tell you what it is, but I don't want to spoil it for the fans,
we can't do that.
Yeah. I already hinted at it though. Like the author is concerned with teaching us not to trust messianic feature people who rise to power in extraordinary ways. Instead, he's teaching us to trust our own judgment. So
that is a humanist for sure.
That doesn't scratch the itch. So as human beings, we like the archetype of the messianic figure that comes and saves everything. We like it.
Yes.
And I don't know if that's derivative of our belief in Jesus Christ, or if Jesus Christ just scratches that itch really hard and that we just want it at some level. But anyway.
Well, I think it's something that's innate, but that's my own opinion.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's the only thing I didn't like. The only thing I didn't like. Everything else I really enjoyed. The acting was fantastic. Cinematography was fantastic. The directing was really good. The story is good. I did have to go and look on the internet for explanations for a few things.
Yeah.
Like why those nun people, why they have that weird voice that they use? Like, what's that?
Yeah.
It sounds kind of evil, but it's somewhat effective, evidently, in the movie.
It sounds 100% evil. That's the whole point, right?
So I did like it. I'm worried of – it'll be interesting if they do a third one. If they do – by the way, I did like the way they ended it. They have the potential to keep going. But also, they ended it with enough satisfaction of, I'm okay. You know what I mean? Like, I hate part ones, part twos, part threes when they're such cliffhangers.
Yeah, no, they paid off a couple of justice fantasies, which was cool.
Yeah, which I liked. Anyway, all right. I really enjoyed it.
So I got a couple of parenting corner questions. Like, Am I the a-hole parenting questions? So I have a couple. One. So this week is spring break.
Yes.
And my son, who has graduated from college, had a friend who recently moved back to California, and on the way out, bought a truck and was like, "Hey, man, can you drive this truck out for me?" And my son's like, "You bet, I'll drive that truck out for you." And so he drove out, and then he flew home. But like this,
which son, Josh or Luke?
Josh? Okay. Josh. Josh was here for a day.
Oh, was he here for his birthday?
He was here for the day before his birthday.
Okay, cool.
So
he's got the same birthday as my mom. Happy birthday, mom and Josh.
All right, nice. So he comes out and I don't. This is gonna be recorded. If he ever listens to it, I don't want him to feel bad. But like, you know, this plan from his friend is not really that well cooked because his friend's not all that close to us. It was up in Bakersfield, so we had to send someone to pick him up in Bakersfield. It's an hour and a half away, right?
Yeah.
So we send Max up to pick him up in Bakersfield and bring him back. We got to hang out with him for a day, which is nice, right? And then the next day, his friend's like, "I'll buy you a flight back." Well, his friend buys him a flight from LAX. That flies out, that boards at 6:45 p.m.
Oh, p.m. Oh.
So, William, what does that mean? Those of you from LA.
You got to be there at 5:30, 5:15, which means you're in the thick of it.
Which means you're in the middle of the worst traffic known in the world, right?
Right.
So I go map
for
it.
For half the way,
I
only go, half the way, though.
No. No, because then I'm in L.A.,
oh, you come
at 7, and I got to come back for
it. Oh, yeah, and then you're in at full.
Then you're in at full.
Yeah. So if you don't know, from where we live down to about halfway, which over the Sepulveda Pass is basically...
In the afternoon, it's wide open. I can go all the way to Santa Monica in 30 minutes.
Right, but once you get on... Once traffic will start to get heavy right around the 10 down there, which is... You feel close to LAX
at that point. You're really close to LAX.
But you just added, you know, 20 minutes at least.
Well,
but
so
then
Google
you
Maps
have
is like
full traffic from LAX all the way up to where we live.
Right.
Yeah.
So I did the math and I'm like, this is going to be a 4-hour night for me. Like, it's
going to
be.
Oh, you did it?
Well, no, that's a Google Maps. It'll be between an hour and 40 minutes and 2 hours to get there, and between an hour and 40 minutes and 2 hours to get back.
Holy moly.
And I'm like, okay, so then I'm like, I don't love this. Someone told me once about this great shuttle from San Fernando. If I take him to Park and Fly, I can get him a shuttle all the way to the airport. Voila, done. And then I can get to Park and Fly in 15 minutes. That is a 30 minute trip for me. So I tell him, "Hey, I solved this problem. I'm going to do it." And he looked at me like I was the worst parent in the world. And I'm like, what? I mean, like, we did it. Like, your old man doesn't have to eat 4 hours of his night in traffic. And he's just like, are you kidding? You're going to send me on a bus? He said it like he was a slur. And he kept going. And I was trying to get him to back off with shame. And I got nowhere. And so finally, I just drove him. I'm just like, well, all right, we're doing this. So I didn't buy him the shuttle. And then he roasted me for thinking about it. He just kept doing it. He's like, and you were going to send me on a bus. And I'm like, it's a shuttle, man. Like, people take shuttles to the airport. It's a thing that they do, especially in big cities. He's like, you were going to do that to me. All right. So
it's not a greyhound.
Am I the a-hole here? Or is my son just going to grow up a little bit later and figure it out?
Oh, dude, I'm sorry. This one's on you, brother.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, so here's why.
You don't get
to be with your son all that often. He's looking at this as an opportunity to be with you.
Yeah.
And the cost is basically your trip home, not your trip down, because your trip down is with him.
Hey, this is a great take.
That's my take.
That's the
way I thought of it. And my guess is that subconsciously, that's the way he thought about it.
Well, not subconsciously. He explicitly said, you never get to hang out with me.
Okay, so
and
there
this
you go.
One time, because of traffic, like, how dare you? All right.
You know what? Okay, so I've had those circumstances before.
And we had a nice, I have good news. Because it was spring break, we actually got there in an hour.
And that's about right.
And then I got home in an hour.
Yeah, I mean, so you
got home in an hour.
Perfect.
So so it was like no big deal.
Yeah, you know, you probably added 10, 15 minutes because of traffic instead of the normal hour.
It wasn't the regular rigmarole.
So that's not bad. What I've done before when I've had to do that
is... We did have a nice time, and I was able to buy him one more sandwich before he went. Yeah. And, you know.
So that's what I usually do. I try to figure out, I'm down there.
But I'm just like, man, don't book me a flight in the middle of rush hour in L.A. Just don't do it. And he's like, I didn't book it. My friend booked it. I'm like, fine.
He's from Bakersfield. What does he know?
Yes. All right. So, but that's the...
Do you know, Bakersfield is becoming more increasingly important to us lately. I mean, in the last 5 to 10 years, Bakersfield all of a sudden became really important to us.
It's going to be the next great suburb, my friend.
Oh, my gosh.
If it didn't just smell like cow manure.
Yeah. No offense to you, Bakersfield people. You don't really smell
actually,
like cows.
I do volunteer work in the temple with people that live in Bakersfield, and they're just great. They're just great people universally, so that's fun.
Still Bakersfield.
All right. Number two, it's spring break.
It is for some people.
And my family never does anything for spring break, and other families do. Just curious, do you do anything for spring break?
Not normally. Well, I mean, we kind of did for the spring break that the kids had. To the college kids, they all go to the same place, so they came down for a week.
Yeah, they came to you, but you didn't like, okay, there's kids here, so now we're going to go to the museum.
We went to Disneyland. Okay. They did stuff.
That counts as something.
Yeah, I mean, but do we, but my, like but my brother,
I, but
he
but
a lot
learned
of times
that we are, that we underperform when it comes to, like other people are like, well, let's go to, we're going to Hawaii. Yeah. And my kids are like, can we go somewhere? Like, maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, I'm generally I'm with you.
So there's bad parenting number two.
So I think we wanted to go. My brother-in-law has a cabin up into Strawberry Point, and that's our vacation place. So we like to go, and so the thought was we would go up there during spring break and then go see the Manti open house for the temple open house.
When are you doing that?
That's what there was a tentative plan to do that.
I see.
And my wife's like, "You want to go?" And I'm like, "No."
So we're doing that.
Oh, cool.
We're going tomorrow. Okay. I'm going today, actually. What's funny is, likewise, I don't actually really want to go to another...
That's a long freaking drive.
Well, it's a long drive. Temple open houses, for those of you who don't know, like, after a temple has been blessed, it's like it's only available to people that are members of the church. But before it is so blessed, it's called dedicated. Before it's dedicated...
They have open houses.
Like... It's an open house, and everyone can go walk through. And
millions.
Because temples are decorated beautifully, people want to go.
This one's pretty unique, though.
Well, so here's the thing.
I know
I don't want to go to another temple open house because I've been to a lot. But
you have to. Your wife.
There's an artist.
Yeah, Minerva Taggart.
Yeah. Named Minerva Taggart, who in the early 1900s? Yeah.
I don't know.
In the early 1900s, was a trained... artist who painted these beautiful murals in this temple, and she's our favorite artist, basically. She's our favorite artist who paints faith inspired work, and it's all hanging in this temple on the walls. So I'm excited to go see that.
As murals, it's not pictures.
What am I saying?
Hanging. It's not really hanging. It's there. Can't take it off.
Yeah.
Actually, the church had originally announced it is extremely.
Because this is a remodel of a temple that already existed. So they built this temple 100 years ago. She painted these murals, and they're like, now we need to fix up the temple. And so some people were like, all right, the murals are coming down. And the people that know art, and
they're like, no.
What?
No,
you can't take this down. Yeah. So then the church worked around the murals that she'd done.
Everything in that area is really interesting. Like, the Manti Temple is beautiful. It's up on that on this hill. It's a very interesting temple.
It's wild because there's nothing out there. Like, I think they built it assuming it was going to become a thing, and then Manti is still not a thing. It's just really small.
It is pretty small.
Yeah.
My brother lives there, and there are two towns right next to each other. One is Manti, and the other one's Ephraim. And they actually, after announcing that they were going to renovate the Manti Temple, there was kind of some uproars about the ideas of how they were going to renovate because it was so historic.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, outside of the normal, way of doing things, they announced we're going to build another temple in Ephraim. And I heard, and this is just, this is conjecture at this point. I don't know this for sure. But I heard what happened. One of the things they figured out was the cost to renovate the Manti temple to make it ADA compliant was so, it's not the cost that they were worried about. It was just the cost as in what they would have to do to the temple. Like they would have to change so many things and it would destroy much of the original, some of the original things like
hallways.
Hallways are skinnier. Doorways are skinnier back then than they are now for ADA. So from what I understood was they decided to create, because those two towns are so close together, if they just put another temple over there, made that ADA compliant, it made it so that anyone that wanted to access it could have a temple experience in the area.
And they could just duck out of ADA with what, like a historical building waiver or something like that.
Exactly. I mean, the ADA
was actually true in this case.
Yes.
Yeah.
The ADA was not about, hey, we have to go to government standards because they're exempt, but not exempt because of a church, because it's a historic building.
Yeah.
But what they were truly trying to make it accessible for people that were
For aging saints who live longer than they used to.
And they have stairs in there and they have all kinds of stuff that, you know, that was very difficult to get around. Just four stairs here, five stairs here. So they decided. So that's the conjecture. Who knows? I guess I could find out if it's true, but sounds right. So I just spread the rumor. But that's awesome. Your wife's an artist, though, and she's seen Minerva seen those on the walls. I think
it'd be cool.
Yeah. I actually expected you to. I guess I expect at least her to go. That is a long drive, though.
She was going to go, and she's planning on going without me. And I'm like, I don't understand. Why? Why are you? And she's like, I don't know. I'm like, okay, well, I want to come on the family vacation that you planned during spring break. And she's like, okay, fine.
So you are doing something in spring break. Look at us
solving problems.
You spent time with your son.
I did.
Right? And you're going to go on a vacation to see something historic. Look at that. You're like...
Okay, so right now we have guests at our house, and they're actually probably on the road now, but this is a funny story. So I was actually thinking this. So they're our house. It's my nephew, but he's actually a kind of a contemporary because we have a large family. So my oldest son's oldest kid. So when we were kids, I was way older than him. I was 10 years older than him. But now he's 40 and I'm 50 and like we hang out. You know,
right.
Do you know what I mean? And anyway.
Wait,
so
he can't be 49, 50. You're 50.
40 and 50. So I was 10 years older than
got
him.
Got you. You're 40 and he's 50. He's 50 and he's 40. Yeah. Got you.
I'm a young 50. Though.
Sorry. For some reason, I heard 49, 50, and I'm like, what?
So anyway, so they're visiting, but I was like listening and kind of watching throughout the day. And my kids, when people are in the house, like Max is going out there all day long, just trying out bits, just telling stories and trying to get them to laugh. You know what I mean? And I was like, those poor guys, like they're just getting their ears talked off. And then I found out that this is something that Jonah actually said yesterday to them when they went on a walk together, because I was working, of course.
Right.
So they went on a walk together and Jonah goes, so when are you guys going to leave? And, like, and she's like, it's like tomorrow at 10. He's like, okay, I'm just trying to figure out how social I'm going to have to be for the next day.
It's like a calculation.
He's doing the math. So I was laughing because not only was I worried he's talking to the ref, apparently my kids were getting exhausted. They're like, I'm running out of material down here. I'm dying here.
Oh, that's classic. My son did something similar on Easter. He like disappeared into the kitchen with one of his cousins and the cousin's boyfriend. The cousin's boyfriend's not of our faith, right?
Yeah.
And Fierce is 13, but, you know, you've heard some of the conversations he has. He's an old dude.
He's an old soul. He goes right to the heart of things.
So he's talking to this this boyfriend who's a very nice guy, but he's not a lot of, like, drive. Like, he just graduated from high school, so he doesn't really know what's next, right?
Yeah.
He was working at Walmart. But they're dating. He's dating my niece really seriously,
Seriously.
So Fierce goes, So, why don't you go to church? And he's like, well, I work on Sundays. He goes, change your shift. Get a new job. You need to be going to church. I said, you really? Because Fierce was telling me the story. I'm like, that's what you said? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, oh, what else did you say? And he goes, well, I asked him about what are you going to do with your life? And he goes, well, you know, I'm working at Walmart right now. I'm gonna work in construction. And he goes, you're gonna raise a family on construction money? why aren't you going to school? And he says, well, I don't really like school, you know, da da da. I was like, how are you going to raise a family if you don't go to school? You should go to school. And I'm like, you said that? And he goes, yeah. And
now,
I'm
as like, a parent, you're like, first of all, I'm amazed that you know this. Good job. Second of all, don't say that.
So I asked him, I'm like, so how do you react? He goes, I don't know. I mean, I guess in one hand, he could probably look at it. It's like, what's this 13-year-old telling me? On the other hand, maybe it's like, you know, maybe it hit him hard and he'll actually do something about it.
Oh, man. Kids, dude. Man. Kids.
Fun stuff. Fun stuff. Have we ever talked about robot vacuums?
No, but I have a bit about this.
Robot vacuums? Do you have one?
Well, but you go first. It's a political bit.
About robot vacuums? Okay, cool.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so I bought a robot vacuum for my wife a couple Christmases ago.
Yeah.
And
I don't trust the technology. I'll let them drive me around, but I don't want them bumping around my house.
I mean, one's risking your life. What's the other one doing?
The other one's just bugging me. It's underfoot. Get out of my way.
So I never thought they... I thought it was a gimmicky thing, right, when I first saw it. But I went to my brother's house, who has lots of pets.
Okay.
And I have allergies towards pets, but I kind of endure it when I go to his house because I just love going to his house. Like, there's so much fun. It's fun to be there. And they actually go all out when they know I'm coming. They're like, they do everything they can to make sure that, you know, there's no pet hair or whatever in the guest room and stuff like that. I mean, they're really cool about it.
Yeah.
But one day I went and I'm like, there's a noticeable change in the house. I'm like, noticeable. Like, they have four boys.
Yeah.
They live in kind of not a rural area, but an area that's constantly being developed. So there's open fields and stuff like that. You know, the boys are coming in and out, in and out, in and out. All their friends are coming in and out, in and out, in and out. They had, at the time, they had two dogs, like how many cats, three cats or something like that. So they had a lot of animals, a lot of stuff happening in the house. And they all did chores and everything like that. But I went in there and I'm like, dude, this place looks like professionally cleaned. Like, and I asked my brother, I'm like, did you guys, you know, get someone, what's going on? Like, which one of your kids is the neat freak or what's happening? He says, oh, we got this robot vacuum. And I said, what? And he shows me and he goes, I run it twice a day. I'm kind of obsessed. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, when I first ran it, I would empty the bin and I would see how much stuff's in there. I'm like, he goes, I was amazed. Like, holy crap. I'm like, we just cleaned this and there's this much stuff in it. So then I just kept running it until the bin didn't fill up anymore. And he goes, it took me several days. I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah. So now I run it like twice a day, just in the common areas. And a humongous difference in his home. So I'm like, done. So I bought one.
All right.
I run it every single morning when I get up. I get up, you know, 3:30, 4 o'clock. And then I put the chairs up on the table so that it can kind of get full. It will make its way around the chairs if you want it to, but I just kind of want to get everything. So I move the chairs and I run the thing.
Now, we're talking about your carpet area or your family area?
So, it's, you know, in my house, I have there's a family room in the kitchen and a little area that we eat in. That's the most trafficked area. That's all I run it in.
Okay.
I run it in there. Dude, it makes such a difference. It's so weird because it's not like there's a lot of grime or dirt or anything.
Sure.
It just, for whatever reason, it picks up stuff, right? And I'm like, okay, there's not anything here. And I look in the bin, and there's stuff in there. I'm like, where did that come from? We have a non-shedding dog.
Yeah.
It just, there's just dirt. And it makes a difference. So I'm a fan. I'm a big fan.
All right.
I'm a little irritated. Like, the one I have sometimes is too smart, and there's too much connectivity and stuff like that. So you always kind of have to toy with it to keep it, you know, working right. But... man.
Okay.
What a cool dude. It's so cool.
That's fantastic.
It's so cool. I'm telling
you. Wait till Tesla makes one.
I thought about
that. Then it'll be like, is this a sock? Yes, no. Like, I'm learning. It's like machine learning.
Dyson actually just made one.
Okay.
So.
All right. So, my bit was that there's rumors that for very obvious reasons that President Biden is going to duck doing debates with President Trump.
Oh, yeah, he has to.
And I thought it would be funny if you got, like, an inflatable Joe Biden and you put it on top of a Roomba on a stage.
That'd be hilarious.
And have it just go... because you know how when he leaves the stage, he gets lost and he goes and he kind of acts like a Roomba?
He bumps walks into stuff.
Bumps into stuff until he finds his way out. So I think it would be funny to put a Roomba on stage and then have Trump, like, debate him, like, debate the Roomba.
Trump...
and call him President Roomba. I think that'd be funny.
Okay, so...
Because there's all this footage. You can just make it. You can cut an ad. President Roomba.
I think you should do it.
I would do it.
Not only that, I think if he won't debate, I think you literally put up a Biden and put up recordings of Biden's things that he says and then have Trump.
Oh, yeah. Hit the button and be like, sure, no, there's two words when I think of America. He has these amazing quotes.
He should totally do it. He could have real quotes and funny quotes.
He should
quotes.
Do it. Oh, that'd be amazing.
If you're not going to debate me, I'll debate your recordings.
Yeah.
A virtual you.
Yeah.
That would be genius. Oh, please do this.
Oh, yeah.
It would be so entertaining.
It'd be so entertaining.
Oh, man. It would be awesome. And it would be talked about forever.
It'd be good television, dude.
It'd be like, Biden doesn't want a debate. So Trump is setting up a debate, right? So you have the Republican Party.
If they just announced that idea, like the leftist press would go out of their minds.
Because they know
how damning it would be.
My gosh. It would be freaking amazing. Basically, you could control the entire narrative. And then all they would talk about is how you controlled the narrative.
Yep.
And then that's going to make people look at it and say, wait, what? Can this guy talk?
Oh, right.
Do it. Please say, that'd be so much fun. Not to be political about this, but we got two old men. One can't talk, or walk.
Yeah.
Have you seen the way he walks?
Yeah.
Weird.
Well, I take no delight in this. Like, if I didn't actually think that he was a corrupt dude, I would just be mad at everybody involved in Biden's life who didn't protect him from this.
Yeah.
Like, this is an old... Yes. Frail guy. The fact that they have to roll him out of bed ever just seems unfair. Now, again, I don't actually think he's a good dude, so I don't care that much. But if it was any other person, I'd be like, what are you doing? Like, do not do this to this frail old dude. Let him just retire.
Do you have any conspiracy theories on how they kept him talking for the
State
of the Union?
Yeah, I do. I mean, like, they're not different. They actually just... I don't know. Trump just got interviewed this morning.
Right.
And was like, he's like, I think they should do drug tests before we debate. He's like, I think there's something weird going on there. That's what he said.
He did?
He said it.
Because that's all, everybody else is thinking it.
Well, he said it.
Because when they're like, oh no, that's Hunter's cocaine. I'm like, that's not Hunter's cocaine. That's like the staff's cocaine to give to him so that he can go out and talk.
Well, anyway. Hey, that reminds me. We have it's not a correction. Well, it is a correction. Yeah. So
in
the last podcast, I talked about how it seems super weird to me that at this time in history, Muslim terrorists would attack downtown Moscow.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know what the U.S.'s role in it was. Well, it turns out I was
100%. Oh, yeah. You said that maybe we didn't tell him. And this, we found out we did tell him.
It turns out we did tell him. We did get intel that there was going to be a Muslim attack. We told American citizens to avoid large, gatherings. And then the time when we said it might happen came and went. And then 5 days later, they had that huge attack. So good news. America's on record sharing intel. So that's good news.
Yeah.
Like we didn't cause this.
No.
Or at least publicly we didn't.
Is that really helping?
One of our listeners sent on this, they pay for business intel. They sent on this thing talking about that. So thank you, listener. Appreciate it.
It's interesting because Putin's kind of trying to pin this on Ukraine. And I'm like, how did that dog doesn't fly or hunt?
Well, it's kind of for the reasons that I was saying, which is it's just it's bad timing for Russia. So if you link it to a common enemy, you can keep everyone focused, I suppose. I don't know.
Well, very interesting.
So here's a question for you. Yes. Not a question. I have two little small rants. Can you pardon me a rant, sir?
Please, sir.
Okay, rant number one.
Yes.
Have you ever found a place where you can air up your tires at a gas station that isn't the worst experience in the world?
No. Nope.
It's always the worst. Even if it's okay, it's terrible.
Did you know in the state of California, you don't have to pay for it?
Fine.
No, for real. If you go in, because you know how they always make you pay for it.
There's coins, right?
If you just walk in and you say, can you turn on the pump? They have to turn it on.
Yeah. Has that ever gone well? So it's such a pain. No, I'm not saying that they won't turn it on. I'm saying that those things, they never air the tire fast.
No, they don't have enough pressure.
I have to go back and ask the guy to turn it back on multiple times.
True.
I'm kneeling in a parking lot that's covered in somebody else's oil, right?
True.
And if I'm not kneeling because I don't want to ruin my pants, I'm squatting. So then I'm squatting for freaking 20 minutes just to get a tire to go from 35 to 45 PSI, right? Yep. Okay, so I wondered when I got my own air compressor when I was doing my construction job like last year, if I would benefit from this, the secondary benefit of being able to air my own tires. The answer is... yes.
Okay.
The answer is,
I was like, where's this
fire
going?
Up that thing. It makes a crazy noise for 5 minutes while it warms up.
Right.
I air up a tire, goes, done. And it's like, oh, right.
Did you get one of the little digital outputs?
I'm in my own driveway.
Outputs?
It's not covered in oil. What's that?
You get one of the little digital outputs so you can see the PSI as it's going?
I didn't. I just got one of the air compressor ones where when you let go of the thing, the little PSI yeah. pops up. So anyway, I'm excited today because I'm going to do a little road prep for our road trip that we're going to take to Manti, which is the middle of nowhere. And I'm going to air up tires, and it's not going to be a thing.
Where are you going to stay?
St. George.
Oh, that's still a long drive from St. George to Manti.
Yeah, I heard. It's like 3 hours or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. You're
I don't
Manti,
know what we're
Manti,
doing.
So because my brother lives in Ephraim, I've been there quite a lot. And, oh, my daughter went to Manti High School for a year, so...
Manti High.
It's right
okay,
across
so
the
that's
street.
That's rant one, tire inflation.
Tire inflation.
And it's a plug for having your own air compressor.
Yes. By the way, they have handheld air compressors now that can do it. They do it a lot better than those ones. You can just.
I've been seeing those on the internet.
Yeah.
Are they real though?
Apparently, we were just doing a class our area does like a class for youth and some of the stuff they show is practical. So we did like the practical one. The guy that came and he had one, he's like, yeah, you need one of these, you know, if you're
it
driving
really
a car, he said it did. Yeah.
Huh. That's fun.
He's like,
I gotta be honest. It's pretty fussy to have a giant air compressor and a 30 foot hose.
Yeah.
Like it's fussy.
No, so it's a cylinder. It looks like, you know, it looks like, I don't know, the size of a hydro flask or something.
Okay.
And then you type in the PSI you want, you hook it to the tire, push start and go and you walk away.
And it's just battery powered.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I like
that. You
charge
that. It. Yeah. So
rant number two. And you actually sent me a funny post about this.
Rant number two.
I'm reading X.
And
I've been following venture capitalists because there's a couple of venture capitalists that are interesting. They have like interesting political and social observations.
Right.
And I've been following them. And then one of them like was subtweeted something about some stock. And I'm like, oh, that's an interesting observation about that stock. So I bookmarked it. All right. So now, 3 days later, I get a nonstop, you won't believe these five stocks, right? Okay, which is like, okay, that's sort of irritating. But the one that's really irritating is that it's like, here's what rich people do to get ahead. Like, if you're not doing these things, no wonder you're not getting ahead. So every day now, I have like this envy machine of like, I'm not rich.
Yeah.
If I'd have bought these five stocks, I might be rich. And if I knew anything, I would do what this billionaire does to get rich.
Right.
And it's starting to get super grating. It's starting to be like, look, man.
You screwed up your algorithm.
I did. I screwed up my algorithm. Pretty
it's
wild.
It's so true, though, because the little bit that I sent you, by the way, she's hilarious. Have you watched any of your other ones?
No, I haven't watched any of those. But it's this comedian on Instagram who does a bit about, she's arguing with the algorithm. And she's like, I don't really want to know more conspiracy theories. Like, of course you do. You stopped on that one. And you looked at it for 10 seconds. Yeah. And then you sent it to your friend. Like, she's like, yeah, but. Just because I thought it was funny and weird, like, no, you want this. She's like, no, I really don't.
She has another bit about fonts. It's like Gramercy is like the old grandma. Oh. Times New Roman is like the old official.
Yeah.
And like someone, I think it was Helvetica is like the new hip one. And then some of them are envious. Cosmic Sans is like a hippie.
Cosmic Sans is like
she's really good. She's got a few of them are, she did a rap the other day. I was like, what the heck? She's very literary. She knows a lot. Stuff. Anyways, that algorithm one, I watched it. I'm like, because we've complained about the algorithm so much. You pause for a second, right?
Yeah.
By the way, here's the problem with the pause. I've paused for a second to tell it I don't want it.
Yeah.
And then it still gives me stuff.
Yeah.
I will say, I don't know how X is. For me, YouTube's is a lot easier to work with than Facebook and Instagram. That's the one that's most screwed up for me. And I worked for hours trying to fix it. And I really just give up and
I thought you said Instagram is the one that you gave up on, right?
Yeah, Instagram I don't do at all. Facebook is just they're in between.
Okay.
But the one that actually the algorithm that seems to work best for me, strangely, because I know you don't like it too much, is YouTube's. They don't give me garbage, and they give me stuff I like. Like, you know, I looked up Dune the other day, so I'm getting Dune stuff. But it's not a ton. It's just kind of some. And it's enough to kind of wet my whistle. But, you know, my top stuff on that is like Starship. It's like I'm so obsessed with that thing. There's no well, there is news on that, by the way, that front. They've already tested the second ship. It's on. It's ready. They think they're gonna go.
That's exciting.
In a couple weeks.
Exciting times. Well, this has been the spring break version of the Waystation podcast. William, do you have any parting thoughts?
No, but spring break's weird because like your kids have off, but I mean I'm still working. Is that weird? I mean, I guess it could take
off. It's
not
weird. It's regular people have to work. Yeah. Just because their kids have spring break doesn't mean we do.
My son texted me called me at work the other day, and he's like, "Dad, why aren't you around at all?" I'm like, "What do you mean? I come home at night and same time as normal." And he goes, "Yeah, but you're not around." I'm like, "Dude, I work." And he goes, "And you're not going to school." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, I forgot." I had to manipulate him the other day because he didn't want to go on a bike ride with my wife.
Yeah.
So my wife's like, he won't go with me. It's one of those things where your kids won't do something, but when they do it, they like it. And she goes, "I don't want to go to the beach and ride a bike." Like, it's an hour away. And my wife's like, "But it's going to be fun." "No, I don't want to do it." So I had to call him. I'm like, "Son, you're the only man in the house. If you don't go, Mom will go on by herself. I don't want Mom going by herself. You need to go and protect Mom."
That's hilarious.
And he goes, "All right." So they put it into responsibility for some reason, he'll do it.
No, like,
but if it's just fun, I'm not doing it.
At a certain age, kids want responsibility. They don't want more fun.
So anyway, spring break, almost over.
Yeah, man. Waystation Podcast, your source for life hacks, social commentary, and amazing stories.
I'm William.
I'm Randy. Have a good day.